Smart driving, driven by King Price Insurance. Let's get you some useful info. I always like having the experts in the studio to help all of us who don't know a damn thing and who need to know more about how and where and when the law applies to us, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. Smart driving is going to be a four-part series which we will be bringing you, and it's hosted by our friend Pig Spotter, Cliff, who's here with us this morning. For a long time, people thought we were the same person.
Indeed.
And yeah. I saw you put up some some social media stuff to that effect.
Yeah.
I only met you like everybody else did through Twitter. And for a long while, nobody knew who you were.
Sure. Yeah. We had this this common identity with us, my name and your surname.
That's right.
Everyone seemed to believe we were the same person.
And yeah. And what was great about it is that you were one of the first proper citizen activists when it came to the roads, the police, the metro cops.
Yeah.
Letting people know what their rights were, occasionally causing a little bit of trouble and a little bit of noise somewhere.
Occasionally.
But you've evolved too, and you've become one of those people who has enormous credibility when it comes to talking about these things.
Sure.
And for that, I mean, we've got to all say congratulations, because people don't know what their rights are.
Absolutely.
People don't know what the rules of the road are. People kind of drive as they want to, and that's why in South Africa we've got such chaos on our roads.
Absolutely. Which also blows my mind. I mean, because we have people like Howard, who's actually sitting to the left of me, who, I mean, they've been advocates of what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. And he's been in it for years as well. And you know,
Howard, by the way, Howard has never done anything wrong in his life, which
never.
Is an extraordinary thing. So I'll introduce.
I wish that was true.
I don't know. You're probably the only person who could claim to get close to it. But
yeah.
Road safety is something that we should always keep in sharp focus. Every time you take to the roads, you're not only responsible for yourself and those in the vehicle with you, but for everyone. And if you can say that you're in the know, and that you actually understand everything there is to know about road safety, well, good for you. Most of us don't. And today we'll introduce Smart Driving with Pig Spotter, our new four-part series, focusing on road safety, your rights, practical information, consumer advice, just for you. So each week, Smart Driving will interview experts and professionals in the fields of law, emergency response, road safety. And among those will be the co-host of this segment, who I've just introduced to you now, Cliff Pig Spotter Pinto, one of South Africa's best known and most trusted online personalities when it comes to road use and driving. And Howard Dembowski is here with us this morning, the chairman of the Justice Project South Africa. Howard has really been around in terms of road safety, in terms of the rules of the road, for a very long time. And as Cliff said just now, as Pig Spotter said, this is the guy who knows all the rules. He's excited to come on board and impart his knowledge, because the auto bill is about to be passed. This is the big news, right, Howard?
Yeah, well, it has been passed, actually.
It has. Has it been signed by the president?
On the 5th of March, it was passed by the National Assembly. The president hasn't signed it into law yet.
Okay.
And hopefully he will delay doing so or fail to do so completely if he actually bothers to consult proper legal counsel on this matter, because the Auto Amendment Bill has got to be the most unconstitutional legislation that's ever hit this country. And when I say it's unconstitutional, when we get into the nitty-gritty of it, Cliff, I promise you, you're going to fall off that chair, because
I'm ready.
We all know this innocent until proven guilty concept. It's not something that's foreign to South Africa. It's contained in Section 35(3) of our Constitution.
Yeah.
And the ARTA Act is the exact opposite.
They assume you're guilty until proven innocent?
You are guilty, full stop, in terms of the ARTA Amendment Bill. There is no such thing as proven innocent, because the Amendment Bill takes away your right to elect to be tried in court. You may no longer do that. You must make a written representation to a representations officer who is employed by something called the Road Traffic Infringement Authority, as it's to be renamed. That person and that entity makes its money out of traffic fines. So you're making a representation to a person whose salary is dependent.
Yeah.
Okay.
On prosecution.
If you're unsuccessful with that, then in its infinite wisdom, our legislators have come up with a new part-time tribunal comprising of 9 people that will listen to your appeal based on the representation that you made in the first place. But they'll only do so if you apply to do that within 30 days and your application is accompanied by a fee to be prescribed by the minister. Whenever legislation says that, watch out, because it doesn't have to go before Parliament. They can do what happened last year with our license transaction fees. They were increased last year, I don't know if you noticed, from 42 Rand per licensing transaction to 72 Rand per...
almost double.
Well, that's right. It was a 71.43% increase. And the minister just did it, plain and simple. So whenever it's a fee to be prescribed by the minister, watch out. Because what's to stop the Minister of Transport saying that the fee to make your application to this tribunal for an appeal is three times the fine amount?
Mm.
Nothing's to stop him from doing that. And yes, I know that that sounds like a conspiracy theory or whatever, but do you trust our Minister of Transport?
So Howard, first of all, it sounds like executive overreach. It sounds like unconstitutionality. But obviously all of this has to be then tested by the courts if this does actually get signed into law. I mean, if the president is able to halt this and say, look, there are big problems here, which is what his job is.
Correct.
When it comes to signing something like this. Mm. If he nonetheless just goes in guns blazing and says, fine, we're going to go with this Arta Amendment Bill, then it can be tested in court.
Yes, absolutely. And look, not a lot of people know this, but I already have a constitutionality challenge in the High Court. It's been going since April last year, and it's taken my opponents 10 months to give me their answering affidavits.
Are those opponents the Department of Transport?
The Department of Transport, it's the Minister of Transport, it's the Road Traffic Infringement Agency, it's the Minister of Justice. There are actually 17 respondents in this particular matter.
Talk about collective responsibility.
And trust me, the Arta Amendment Bill makes things worse. It doesn't make things better. And I'm talking about the current Arta Act already presumes you to be guilty until you prove yourself innocent, but the amendment bill takes that right to prove yourself innocent away from you. Because I don't know how many people understand review and appeal, but you cannot introduce new evidence in an appeal or in a review. So what you write in your written representation is what you've got to stick to in those processes. And then to make it even worse, if you're not happy with what the tribunal says, then you've got to make an application within 30 days as well to the magistrate's court to hear a review. And this is the first time in recorded history that magistrate's courts will start to preside over review matters. It's absolutely bizarre. This is normally a function of the High Court. And the problem with that is that people like me and others objected to the idea that you had to approach the High Court, because who's got $2 million for a review application?
You have to have senior counsel. You have to...
Exactly.
There's a whole lot. So, Howard, let me ask you the first of all, this Arta Amendment Bill is meant to make things, as I understood it, in its original the idea that came about was that it would be a demerit system where we'd all carry on with the rules of the road that we already know are in existence, and it would hopefully make people behave better, drive better, because you get demerits eventually, you'd lose your license, you could end up in jail, all kinds of bad things if you kept losing points.
And sure. Yeah, 12 points. Yeah.
I mean, is that what you understood?
Absolutely. Then your license will be suspended as well.
Yeah.
After 12 points, and then pending review in 3 months. And
but that's not the thrust of this at all. You're saying that this is actually almost turning the entire justice system on its head, just for traffic infringements. And precisely. By the way, do we have any idea of how well enforcement is already carried out?
Yeah, we do, actually.
Very badly.
Exceptionally badly. I couldn't believe it when I read an answering affidavit to my current constitutional challenge that the registrar of the Road Traffic Infringement Agency actually had the audacity to say that they have contributed to the reduction in road fatalities that have happened over the past 10 years, and to the tremendous improvement in obeying rules of the road and road traffic laws that's occurred in that particular time. Look, I don't know what planet this man drives on, yeah. but he doesn't he doesn't drive on planet Johannesburg.
Definitely not.
That's one thing for sure, because I have never seen people behaving so badly as I've seen getting progressively worse over the years, especially since the ARTA Act's been enforced. Now, let's be fair about it. It's been enforced for the last going on 11 years now. But the points demerit system hasn't. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we can't say that the points demerit system has had no effect, because it doesn't apply yet. But the points demerit system is the smallest part of the ARTA Act, and trust me, I'm not for one second saying a points demerit system is a bad idea. It's a good idea in your overall arsenal of tools that you can use to bring about road safety. However, it is not the golden bullet. And in order for a system like that to work, all of your traffic cops need to be in possession with electronic devices to check the validity of your driving license. Because I ask you with tears in my eyes, when last anyone in the studio was stopped by a traffic cop and they did anything other than look at their license and say, thank you, you can go. When last did that traffic officer take that and check it against a computer or a different device?
I actually had mine done couple of weeks ago. I was driving home one night around 7 o'clock, and they did. They went and checked for fines and everything else. At roadblocks.
No. I'm talking about traffic cops standing at the side of the road, Gareth.
Obviously.
Because in order for a points demerit system to actually work, every single traffic officer needs to be connected to the eNATIS database, because your driving license doesn't say on it, this thing's suspended because this oak's been driving like a bit of a prick for the last 10 years.
But Howard, isn't it true also that with all of these laws and all of this bureaucracy and all of these new bodies that are going to be created to enforce the ARTA Amendment Bill and all kinds of other things, all that's going to happen is that the people who are compliant, who actually get their licenses renewed, who make sure that they pay their fines, those people are just going to be hit harder. And the people who want to break the rules by not having a license at all, by bribing a metro policeman, by doing whatever they want on the road, probably driving something that's not even roadworthy, nothing happens to those people.
Well, yeah, look, that is the public perception. And I just want to put something very straight here, because even judges think that they are law-abiding citizens because they pay their traffic fines. Well, sorry to burst your little bubble, but I'm a law-abiding citizen because I don't get traffic fines in the first place. Yeah. And that has got to be the objective, is to get to a situation where there is voluntary compliance. But the ARTA Amendment Bill is a lot more dangerous than you think it is.
Yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
I'd like to ask you, Gareth, do you pay e-tolls?
Hell no.
Aha. Leanne.
She does.
I've got a device.
Sell out.
I used to pay them.
Yeah.
I don't anymore.
Okay. I know that my good friend, the pig spotter here,
would die. You said to her that she's a sellout, and you tell me that I'm a bad person.
No,
so which is
hell? No, you're not a bad person, because e-tolls, let's face it, everybody has taken a stance on this thing. 30% of people are paying e-tolls. Now, let me really burst your bubble. The ARTA Amendment Bill takes the service of documents and transforms them into something called electronic service. Mm-hmm. And that is defined as any electronic means in the ARTA Amendment
Bill. So they could send you an SMS.
Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, email, you name it.
And all of that constitutes legal delivery.
Correct. Every single one of them constitutes legal service, not even delivery. Okay.
Yeah, but we're talking about a government that can't even keep the lights on.
Wait, it gets better. If you think that this is a poo-poo, hey, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Why do you think it is that up to date, our friends at SANRAL have not prosecuted a single person for non-payment of e-tolls. Yes, there was one big court case with Dr. Stoichev, if you remember that. Mm-hmm. The guy who ran around with three different sets of number plates in his vehicle and kept on changing them around. Well, that guy was a criminal, obviously. That was number plate fraud. But there hasn't been the mass prosecution that was threatened by the likes of Vusi Mona and Nazir Ali right in the beginning.
Why?
Okay. Because currently the ARTA Act requires that registered mail, in other words, the registered letter service, and this is an argument I'm having at the moment, is used to serve ARTA documents on you. But there's another problem. And that is that the Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project, the e-toll roads, goes through two jurisdictions. When I say two jurisdictions, in one, the ARTA Act applies. In the other, the Criminal Procedure Act applies. And that other is Ekurhuleni.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that means that they'd have to split these things up. They'd have to use registered mail to send you infringement notices, etc. The second the ARTA Amendment Bill is signed into law, then our pals at SANRAL can automate sending off electronic infringement notices to you and you and you and everybody else. And guess what? The fine is 250 Rand per gantry that you travel under and do not pay your e-toll.
Yeah, but
for.
They're never going to recover okay? that money from all of us.
Oh, well.
No, how are they going to do that?
Let me explain.
Take
it
away
to you.
All our licenses?
Yes.
Everyone's licenses?
Yes. Have you heard
then
of
no one will care about the licenses.
Well, I wouldn't count on that because
people,
I can tell you.
Civil disobedience in a massive way.
Cliff? Sorry, Gareth.
Cliff's sitting over there.
Say. Yes. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe it will trigger another tax revolt. That is something that cannot be discounted. But right now, enforcement orders in terms of the ARTA Act exist. And I can tell you now that an enforcement order prevents you from renewing your driving license card, your vehicle license disc, and your professional driving permit. And I can tell you what the effect is right now on people that these are issued against. They go and they pay those enforcement orders. And the reason that they do it is that nothing terrifies them more than the idea or the concept of being arrested by a traffic officer for driving on an expired driving license card. Even though arrest is not prescribed in the law, they get threatened with it. And I can tell you, this is something that we've observed over at least the half a decade now since enforcement orders have been getting used in mass. And I'm telling you now that the effect, and you can mark my words on this, Gareth.
I'm listening to you. I'm writing down notes. What are you talking about? Put the fear
you
of God into me.
Yeah.
If you get a fine of 250 Rand per gantry, and you travel under two gantries in one direction and one in the other going to and from home. And I'm talking about you very privileged people that live very close to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
The rest
I'm not talking about the people who live in Durangon, who have to drive under 10 of these things. $750 a day.
It's ridiculous.
Are you going to be able to afford
No one can.
You're going to go and get an e-tag, and you're going to pay e-tolls. That's what's going to happen. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out. That is why, sir, we have not had SANRAL and national government turn around and say, let's scrap this thing, it's not working.
Because they're waiting.
They have an end game in store. And if you think Cyril Ramaphosa is not going to sign this ARTA Amendment Bill into law because he's going to listen to proper legal advisors who say this is unconstitutional, well, I'm sorry, but I don't have the same view as you.
All right, so now you've frightened us.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm off to go and pay the rest of my outstanding bills.
You see, that's
the exact reaction. Yeah,
that is the exact reaction. And you know what, Gareth, the interesting part of this whole thing is that if you go and get yourself an e-tag, because now, oh damn, now they can email me a blimming infringement notice for this. If you go and get one of those, the way that the e-toll system works is first in, first out. So you will start paying your old debt, which is less than 3 years old now. Okay? And only once you've caught that up will you start catching up the current stuff.
Again, okay. People don't have money. There isn't money, which exactly. will force people, good people, to become bad people.
Correct. And you know, this is the whole problem. They haven't thought this through. They really haven't. They think that they're going to be able to stomp their foot down, come with a patriarchal view. You people work for us. Mm-hmm. You're our minions. Mm-hmm. Okay. We are not public servants. You are servants of the government. And that is what is so wrong with this type of thinking that has been inculcated in the ruling party, who think that they are above everybody else.
Yep.
When last did you drive on a freeway and not have a whole lot of black BMWs and Mercs with blue flashing lights come push you off the road?
Yeah, they think
because
they're
in a hurry.
Yeah.
So, Cliff, what about the other things that you wanted to cover? We haven't got a huge amount of time, but Howard's really brought this Arto Act into very stark contrast for us.
I think that's actually the exact reason why I brought him on board. Hearing about this when he
How often
told
do you
me
two talk?
every now and then. We'll get together and have like a 4-hour coffee session. And then when he told me this, my jaw literally hit the floor. It's like, people need to be aware.
I just want to refer to one other thing, because we always have the most hideous, horrendous Easter death tolls on our roads. And government has been completely useless in trying to curb this. It has to do with, and I'm always interested that so many of these deaths are pedestrian deaths, which is something that doesn't come up that often. Are there any plans afoot besides the Arto Act to try to do anything about this? Because obviously there are innocent people losing their lives.
Well, first off, the Arto Act is not about road safety.
No.
But, road safety is a process, not an event. And unfortunately, if you don't drum this into people on a daily basis, 24/7, then you cannot expect them to behave themselves at Easter and at Christmas and the like. The fact is that we're going to see another set of utter carnage on our roads come the Easter season. I'm sorry to say it, because our government keeps on trying the same things and expecting different results. And the fact is that what we need is, number one, we need to start educating people correctly. Tell me something. When you were at school, what were you taught to do before crossing a road? Look
left and right.
Oh, is it? Okay. Do you live in America?
No.
If you look left, right, left.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get killed. Let me tell you why.
Right, left, right.
Because we drive on the left-hand side of the road, and that comes from America. They are still teaching children that today. And that is why I say we need to fix what is so severely broken in this country. When you come to a roundabout or traffic circle, mm-hmm. did you know that they're two different types?
Yes.
I didn't.
You
I
did,
know that you
because
got,
I told you,
schmuck. You got to give way to traffic from the right.
No.
Only on big circles. Only like in local. No.
So, big circles.
So what
What's
about,
a big circle?
So what about a little one?
It depends on the sign. If there is a sign there which is blue with little white arrows in it, then it's a roundabout and you give priority to traffic approaching from the road on the right.
Mm-hmm.
If it has an upside or an
inverted.
A yield sign,
yes,
okay, with a little circle in it, then it's a first come first serve basis. So it's basically a 2 or 3 or 4 way yield. It's just ridiculous. Why we have to complicate things in this manner, I don't know. If I was to write traffic laws, I'd make them real easy, and I'd make you learn each and every single one of them. And I'll tell you why. That's what you have to do in the UK. That's why their road fatalities are so darn low. Because when you go for your learner's test, if you don't know all of those rules of road, you're going to fail. Okay? So there's a lot of things that need to be done. Legislation needs to be changed. This challenge that I've brought against the Arto Act as it stands right now is a very serious one. And I want folk to start getting behind me because, you know, it's all very well that, let's allude to a question that my dear friend Cliff actually asked me.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me, well, what is it that you actually do? Okay. Well, let's see.
Besides from being a model citizen, obviously.
From 2010 to 2012, JMPD was issuing illegal traffic fines. So off goes Dembowski and he starts stirring a bit of trouble about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Net result, 4 billion rands worth of traffic fines were cancelled. Outstanding traffic fines.
Thank you, Howard.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it puts food in my mouth. I appreciate it.
How can we support you, though?
Let me just finish that and then I'll tell you how. Okay. In my latest constitutional challenge, I said they need to cancel stagnated traffic fines. Well, guess what? They said, no, we're not going to do that. And then they cancelled 20 million fines to the value of 9.5 billion rand. So that's what's happened.
Thanks.
Now, guys, yes, I need to start bringing in some money because I've got council I have to pay.
Right.
And trust me, these guys aren't cheap. Okay. So we'll be announcing, and I'll do it through you guys if I can.
Sure, of course.
Okay. A fund that we're putting together to fight this properly because the Auto Amendment Bill, if it's signed into law, has to be challenged within 24 to 36 hours. Absolutely. We've got to have it in the High Court, interdict this thing, and stop it because you cannot allow this to go through because if it does go through, what's going to stop government from bringing in the administrative adjudication of crimes that police don't want to investigate act?
Which means that they basically have, it's a police state.
Correct. Yeah. So in other words, if I say that you slap me across the face, you're guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you have to either prove yourself innocent or take the rap for it. That is the kind of nonsense that can come about from this.
All right, Howard, you have again, you've made us terrified of everything. But this is,
see, pass me my purse. I need to pay now.
But this is important, and if there's a place that you should be putting your money in order to help fight this stuff, it's to challenge constitutionally these things, which will otherwise make you bankrupt anyway. They've already pretty much reduced the state to the point of being a bully, where they're going to come and shake things at you and make your life uncomfortable and horrible. So we're going to move on, but thank you very much to Pig Spotter.
Thank you.
Cliff, it's good to see you. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We'll do this again, and we'll have more on road safety, more on your rights, more on insurance, more on how it all works, all of that coming up. This is Smart Driving with Pig Spotter. Smart Driving, driven by King Price Insurance.